Chapter 12. The Grand View. One may go by regular stages, or by private conveyance from Eltover to Grand View. The distance to the hotel is 14 miles. The drive is through the glens and winding roads of the Coconino Forest, with junipers, pines, sagebrush, atroplex and the beautifully flowered Cauania Mexicana, or mountain mahogany, commonly known as the quinine tree, abounding on every hand. Though comparatively close to the canyon, one seldom catches a glimpse of it, for the country slopes away from the rim. The ride is through a thickly forested region of giant pines, varieties of flowers and shrubs. During the season of flowers, one will be surprised at the great diversity presented. There are varieties of Artemisia or sagebrush, Antenaria, Columban, the Barberry, Spiria, Russian thistle, Eriophilus, Chrysothamnus, Plantago, Dandelions, Lepidium, Chinactic, Linum, Hasakia, Cercium, Astragalus, Ambrosia, Euphorbia, Plustemon, Achillea millifolium, Erodium, or Stork's Bill, Orthocarpus, Vilia, Solidago, Lactuca, Helianthus, Erigeron, Brigelia, Melvestrum, Delia or a desert hop tree, Polygonum, Sphedra, Lupins, Castilia, Lathyrus, Verbena and a score of others. I merely name those I saw on one day's drive to and from Grand View, so that the botanist, amateur or professional, may know the rich treat there is in store for him. For, under the peculiar climatic conditions here, many of these more common plants present singular variations. When about half the distance is passed, the road enters Long Jim Canyon, so named after a well-known sheep herder of the early days who used to wander here with his sheep. Pompey's Pillar and Thor's Hammer. Shortly before reaching Grand View Point, the road passes not far from the rim, where it curves into a small amphitheater in which are two striking columns of erosion, Pompey's Pillar and Thor's Hammer. Grand View Hotel. Grand View Hotel is directly upon the rim, and commands a fine outlook over the open portion of the canyon at its very beginning. The hotel was built by, and is under the management of P.D. Berry, whose homestead is nearby. Mr. Berry was one of the discoverers of the mine below, and one of the locators of the Grand View Trail. Grand View Point. Grand View Point, elevation 7,495 feet, is about a mile from the hotel. It affords the most extensive view possible of this part of the canyon. The highest point, too, is at the eastern end of the canyon, being 211 feet higher than Zunai Point, 7,157 feet, 125 feet higher than Pinal Point, 7,370 feet, and 30 feet higher than Navajo Point, all of them salient points to the east. Cliff dwellings. There are a number of cliff dwellings in this vicinity, which take from half a day to visit. The best preserved of these are in the gulches of the Coconino Forest, on the rocks of which are also some interesting pictographs. There are remains of dwellings on Morin's Point, and at various places along the rim of the canyon. A few miles to the east of Grand View Point is the junction of the Little Colorado with the Colorado River, as it flows out of the Marble Canyon into the Grand Canyon. Here, for nearly a score of miles, the strata have been shattered and carried away, so that the canyon is opened up, as it were, more than in any other place. A vast number of pillars of erosion stand revealed in wonderful variety. It should never be forgotten that the canyon is so diversified that each point and each trail has its own distinctive charms, and he is wise, in the canyon study, who sees it from as many points of vantage as he can. The trip from Grand View Hotel to the plateau overlooking the Granite Gorge, 3,500 feet below, and return, is made in one day. The old Grand View Trail leaves the rim about a mile from the hotel, winding its way down from one stratum to another, around points which command extensive outlooks. Grand View Trail. A new trail from Grandview Point, 1.5 miles north of the hotel, joins the old trail about 1,000 feet below the rim, and continues to the top of what is locally known as the Blue Limestone, 2,500 feet below the rim, to the Horseshoe Mesa, where the Canyon Copper Company mine is located. Here also are the bunkhouses and boarding houses of the miners, the corral for the burros used in packing ore to the surface, and several small sleeping cottages for travelers. The distance from the rim to the camp is 3 miles on the old trail, and about half a mile less by the new trail. To the mouth of the mine is another half mile. The trail was begun in June, 1892, and the first ore pack train went over it in February, 1893. In 1901, the interests of Barry and his partners were bought by the Canyon Copper Company. The distinctive charm of the Grandview Trail is the wide and unobstructed outlook which one gets here nearly all the way down. It is not boxed in. Horseshoe Mesa. The start from Grandview Hotel is generally made after lunch, so that one arrives at the camp of the Canyon Copper Company in time for supper, and lodges there overnight. After supper, a visit is made to the edge of the Horseshoe Mesa for the sunset view. This is one of the more extended views afforded only from such a mesa or plateau thrust well out into the heart of the canyon. Up, down, and around, there is scenic attraction. The river flows on in the deep granite gorge below. The best time to, for seeing and knowing the canyon is at the sunset or sunrise hour. Then the shadows are long, and the various objects stand out distinctly. Grandview Caves. The following morning a visit may be made to the limestone caves or the Copper Company's mine. The former were discovered in 1897 by the camp cook, Joseph Gildner, and are well worthy an extended visit. The first cave is some 300 feet long, and varies in height from 10 to 80 or 90 feet. The second cave has about the same length, but is much higher, and contains a far more diversified collection of stalactites, stalagmites and sheets of calcareous deposits, that hang like curtains before the more solid side walls. While appearing in the red wall limestone, the rock of these caves is all of a creamy white, thus demonstrating that the formation itself is white, but that the exposed walls are stained by the red washed over them from the strata above. Copper mine. The mine is equally interesting, and to those who have never seen the operations of tunneling, stooping, driving shafts, winzes and the like, and the removal of the ore, it is an experience well worthwhile. At this writing the mine is temporarily closed. A fine trip. From the Horseshoe Mesa, one may descend to the lower plateau on horseback, and then to the river on foot. Those who wish a more extended trip should ride from the camp, across the old Hans and Mineral Canyons into Red Canyon, stay overnight at the river, at the foot of the Red Canyon Trail, and then return up the latter trail to the hotel. The trail is fairly good, and the three different side canyons traversed reveal a wonderful variety of rock scenery. To Hans Canyon. To take this trip, the trail passes the mine, eastward, down a steep break in the red wall limestone, zigzagging back and forth. Passing under overhanging cliffs, it leads down until the plateau is reached, where 20 years ago I saw bands of mountain sheep. From this plateau, the descent is steep into Hans Canyon, and the student of the dynamic forces of nature can here see, when about halfway down, a wonderful example of the shattering of the earth's crust. Here the immense mass of the head wall has been shaken up, and is now rapidly disintegrating, to be washed down by the storms of succeeding years into the great river which will ultimately deposit it in the Gulf of California. By and by Vishnu Temple, the grandest of the rocky structures, comes into sight, and a little further on one can see, at the base of Vishnu, and above the granite, the red-tilted strata of the Algonquian. The descent into Hans Canyon reveals a fine view of Ayer Peak, and as we look down we can see the peculiar shattering of the Tonto sandstones that Thomas Moran named the Temple of Set. It takes but a few minutes to ride or walk down to the temple, which is one of the distinctive features of the Hans Trail, down which most of the yearly visitors to the canyon used to come. Angel Gate. The ascent is now made on the eastern side of Hans Canyon, to the summit of the Tonto Sandstones, and from this point a fine view of Angel Gate is to be had, its rich reds contrasting agreeably with the grays and olives of the Tonto series. Mineral and Red Canyons. On the plateau separating Hans Canyon from Mineral Canyon, and the latter from Red Canyon, one can see the rare Algonquian strata to fine advantage. Numerous faultings and flexurings may be observed, and on the last mile, before reaching the foot of Red Canyon, the trail leads through a great boulder bed along the brink of the gorge immediately overhanging the river. Camp is made here at night. The return ride up the Red Canyon Trail is made enjoyable by the brilliant colorings, the faultings and nonconformities of the strata, which are apparent even to the most undiscerning layman. Here the conglomerate appears above the blue limestone, while ordinarily it is found below it. The Algonquian also is largely in evidence. Across the river one may see the location of the asbestos deposits. Moran Point. Grand View Point and the Point East are all reached from the Grand View Hotel. The first of these is Moran Point, 7,157 feet elevation, 5 miles east. The trip may be made in a vehicle, over a road from which the canyon is not visible until the point is reached, or in the saddle, over a trail, the last 2 miles of which are along the rim. This is a unique trail, from the fact that it overlooks Hans Creek, and further along, gives commanding outlooks down Red Canyon. Zunai Point. From Zunai Point, 2 miles further east, a still more extensive view is obtained. The trip to these 2 points may be made in half a day, but many prefer to give a full day. Navajo Point and Desert View. 10 miles from Grand View is Navajo Point, over 7,000 feet elevation. The ride thither, after leaving Zuni Point, is through the Coconino Forest, without a trail. It is necessarily a saddle trip. The outlook is especially attractive, as it presents portions of the Painted Desert and the mouth of Marble Canyon. Comanche Point, 7,079 feet, and Cape Solitude, 6,157 feet, are respectively about 17 and 20 miles east of Grand View, and may be visited in the saddle during a camping out trip of 2 days. They both command views of the amphitheater, where the Colorado River makes an almost right-angle curve from Marble Canyon into the Granite Gorge. The walls are precipitous to 3,500 feet below, and the outlook afforded is about 70 miles in either direction, up and down the canyon. In addition to the canyon outlook, Cape Solitude, which might well be called Desert View, commands a fine expanse of the Painted Desert, extending 100 miles in either direction, the colorings of which are especially dazzling at sunset. The Little Colorado River flows through this desert, 1,500 feet below Cape Solitude, in a gorge of about 2,500 feet in depth. From the narrow canyon of the Little Colorado, the desert rises to the east in 3 successive gigantic steps of about 1,000 feet each. This affords a panorama of glorious colorings at sunset, while the view in the opposite direction glows best in the early hours of dawn. To those who wish to camp out, sleeping in the open for 2 or more nights, the trip may be extended to the canyon of the Little Colorado. In this excursion, one gets a fine breath of the desert, a sight of the narrow and boxed-in Little Colorado Canyon, and extended desert views, passing by Cedar Mountain, one of the few spots where fragments of the almost vanished strata of the Permian Age are still visible. Tuba City and Mancopi. Tuba City, 60 miles east of Grand View Hotel, a 4-day saddle and camping out trip, is situated in the Painted Desert, and is the headquarters of the Navajo Indians of this locality. Here also is located the United States Government Indian School, where the children of several tribes are being civilized. 2 miles away is Mancopi, a Hopi village, or pueblo, of some 30 homes, where this pastoral and home-loving people may be found engaged in their quiet agricultural pursuits, the women also busy at basket-making and the fashioning of pottery. At Tuba City there are many Navajos living in their hogans, where the root silversmiths are at work creating their arts and craftsware, and the looms of the blanket weavers are incessantly busy. Crater Mountain. Crater Mountain, 39 miles south of Grandview Hotel, is an extinct volcano with one side eroded, leaving a sheer wall 500 feet high in circular form, with a variety of pillars standing high above the bottom of the amphitheater. Its red, yellow and black colors combine in a peculiar harmony, and novel effects are witnessed at sunset, or by moonlight. To enjoy this trip aright, one should drive there, and arrange to sleep in the amphitheater, returning on the following day. Extinct volcanoes. Or, if a more extended trip is desired, one can drive on to the many cinder cones and extinct volcanoes that lie to the north and east of the San Francisco Mountains, including Sunset Crater and O'Leary Peak, and then into Flagstaff. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.